I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't know how you're going to take this, but I'm going to tell you God is ticked off at a lot of people in the world. And He is judging this world. Now then, a lot of people don't have a clue what faith is or what happens when you don't have faith or when you don't do what God says. But today, from the message that we're going to talk about, this wonderful season that we've come through, I mean, it's all because of the birth of Jesus we can have what we have today. But the church is like I was most of my life. The church does not understand what we have nor how to make it work. We don't understand it. I know I didn't understand it for most of my life. And then when I begin to read this wonderful book, and I begin to see what it said. I had been a Southern Baptist all of my life, and I had taught a Sunday school class and been a deacon in a Southern Baptist church all of my life, ever since I was a grown man. I'd become a deacon at about 30, and a Sunday school teacher before I was 30, and I was teaching God's Word from a Southern Baptist book, not the Word of God. And one day the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice and told me to lay down my Southern Baptist information and begin to study His book. So I did. I had no idea what He was going to do with me. I had no idea what His plans were for me in the future. But boy, has it changed my life forever. And it's changed a lot of other people's life forever. But I began to get a hold of things that's a little tough for the church to swallow. That the problems you have are all revolving around sin. And when I got a hold of that and I started trying to teach that, everybody thought, I'm crazy. I mean, I've been called a crazy idiot, fool, by lots of people, even preachers. But that's okay. It don't make no difference to me what they call me. I've learned the truth. And the Word of God says, let every man be a liar and God be true. So I'm going to start off today with a scripture that we have this wonderful Jesus that died on the cross for our sins. And most of us know that He died on the cross for our sins. Very few of us know He died for our healing. But He did. But I want to take you somewhere and show you something under the new covenant. When Dave said something about the new covenant, I'm going to tell you the new covenant is the most awesome thing in the world. But God holds us accountable for the new covenant. And you know, there's so many people do not know that their sin is what makes them sick and afflicted. They've never learned that. They've never learned that, I mean, just like, it's so simple. I've seen it with children. Of course, I'm going to talk a bunch about a child today that's been miraculously healed, and I've got the proof to back up everything I'm going to tell you. But very rarely does children ever learn that when the Scripture says, children, obey your parents in all things. What does it mean when it says, children, obey your parents in all things? What does that mean?
Exactly what it says.
Oh, you think that God really meant for a child to obey their parent in all things? Then He made a promise right after that, so that you may be well and you may have a long life. So what if you don't obey your parents as a child? Oh, you're going to have sickness and disease and your life is going to be cut short. You know, I don't hardly know anybody in the church that believes that. They really don't believe it. They have read it and they heard the Scripture, but if I tell them, you know, you're not being obedient to your mom and your dad. Well, you don't know what my mom and dad have done for me. I don't care what they have or haven't done for you. God holds you responsible to obey your parents. And so if you don't show them respect and honor them, you get to be 20 or 30 years old and you're dying with cancer at 30 years old and everybody says, what in the world? This girl, this boy, they've come down with all these problems. They're dying with terminal cancer and they're only 30 years old. What's the problem? I can tell you what it is. It's sin. And it might be because they didn't obey their parents. Well, I want to show you something that if you become a Christian and you've been in church, I want to show you it's going to be even tougher on you than if you're not a Christian. That's something, isn't it? I'm going to take you to Hebrews 10:26 to start out, and we're going to read Hebrews 10:26, and I want you to see something, and God is, you're going to find out right here, He's going to hold us more accountable if we know the Scripture than if we don't know the Scriptures. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That's more than strong. I'm going to tell you, I was watching. Somebody sent me, since I teach what I teach, somebody sent me this last week, a message A.A. Allen preached years ago. I don't even remember where he was, but there was three videos that they sent me. They were all one, but they'd been cut up in three parts. And A.A. Allen was in a place where there was thousands of people. He was preaching God's Word. And he looked out there, and there's a little six-year-old boy out there in the arms of a mother or father. And he looked at that child. He said, bring that child up here. And they brought it up there and handed it to him. And this is what he said. Look at this child. He said, this child looks more like an animal than a human being. That was his words. He was all deformed. Couldn't walk. Couldn't talk. Awful shape. He said, you know why this child is like this? He said, this child is like this because of the parent's sin. I thought, when's the last time I heard that preached in church? He said, this child is like this because of sin. He said, this child was born under a curse, and this child is cursed because of the parents or the grandparents or the great-grandparents' sins. That's why this child is like it is. And I thought, wow, boy, you've got to be some kind of bold to stand before thousands of people and reach out there and get a little child that looks like an animal, you know, that's all contorted and everything else, and pull that little thing in your arm and walk around and say, this child is born like this because it's under a curse. But that's what God's Word says. Isn't that something? I don't know another preacher in the world that has the guts to do that. Have you ever heard a preacher preach like that in church? No, they don't do it. But is it in God's Word? Oh, yes, it is. Just like this scripture right here. If we're in church and we know the truth, if we sin willfully, after you have the knowledge of the truth, there's no sacrifice for sin left. Well, if there's no sacrifice for sin left, then what's the consequence? Let's look at verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. That's a little bold too, isn't it? So here you are a Christian, and you know, now you know what scripture he was leading up to start all this? You have any idea the scripture in verse 25 that he's talking about that brings all this on? Most people have no idea what verse 25 says. And Christians break this rule every day. Let's go back to verse 25. I want you to see what he's talking about. Then we'll go on. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. What does that mean? Go to church. I mean, I got to go to church as a Christian. You don't have to, do you, Tom?
No.
You don't have to. But you can also undergo that fiery judgment, right? Do you want to undergo that fiery judgment? I don't want to undergo that fiery judgment. So where am I going to be on the Lord's day? I'm going to be in His house somewhere. I'm going to be in His house. If I'm not, the judgment of God is going to come upon me. Let's go back to verse 28 now. Let's go on to 28. We see what we're talking about here from 25, 26, 27, and 28. Let's look at 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now then, under the old law, we have a new covenant. It's more demanding than the old one. People think, oh, the new covenant is wonderful. We got a blessing. No, the new covenant is more stringent than the old one. The old one, if you committed murder. What did you use that? You killed somebody, and somebody saw you. Somebody come along and kill Tom, and I happened to see him, and Bob was over here with me, and we both saw them kill you. We could go to the city and say, we saw Jack kill Bob, the two of us. And they went out and checked and found your body dead. Now, they don't know nothing except what he and I said, but on the testimony of two witnesses, they killed that man. We might have been lying, but he loses his life under the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's pretty stiff, isn't it? If that's the way it was under the old covenant, of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So God told you to go to church, and you don't go. God told you to not sin, but you sin. Now, we could name all kinds of sins, couldn't we? Lying, thieving, cheating, drunkenness, revelry, committing adultery, fornication. God told you not to do any of those things as a body of Christ, right? No lying, no deception, none of those things, right? He hates those things. So what do you think is going to happen if you disobey him under the new covenant? Judgment. Judgment on you or your children. That's scary, isn't it? But you don't hear that taught too often either, do you? But it's in the Word. Wow. That's awful. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And I want to show you something here. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Now, this statement is just in the Old Testament one time. It's going to be found three times in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament it's found once. Under the King James, Habakkuk 2, 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Okay, are you and I supposed to be the just? Yes, that's what we are. Why are we just? Because of this gift that we have that came. We celebrate Christmas as the birth of Jesus Christ. It's not really his birthday at all, but we celebrate it as him. December the 25th was not the day Jesus was born. You know, but that's okay. I mean, I celebrate his birth every day. You know, it don't make no difference to me. He came. That's all that counts, anything. He came, and he tells me in the old covenant that I am justified by what he did when he grew up and became a man and then died on a cross, poured out his blood for me. I was made just as if I had never sinned the day I accepted him as Lord and Savior. My sins were remitted. I was washed in the blood. And I was made just. Think about this. I was made the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because of what he did on the cross. I was made just as if I had never sinned in my life.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Faith Pleases God, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.